Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, on our last episode, we reviewed the peak performances from games 13 through 16 of the regular season. So now we'll continue with our more general bird's eye view overview of these last four games of the regular season for the Packers. Starting with the visit from the Seattle Seahawks, the Packers are 6-6 at this stage, four games left to go. And I don't know about you, but for me, this victory over Seattle, as convincing as it was, 38-10, the Packers completely dominated on both sides of the ball. This was when I started to feel like this run-the-table business was very realistic with when this one happened.
Yeah, Mike, because I think nobody gave the Packers a chance in this one. I don't remember what exact the line was of the game against the Seahawks, but the narrative, when you hear players talk about, you know, no one gave us a chance to beat Dallas, the number one seed. Nobody really gave them a chance to finish the thing off and be able to compete for the NFC North title against Detroit. This was one of those games where I think all the naysayers were really voicing their thoughts that, you know, this is where it ends. Okay, it was cute. They beat Philadelphia and they beat Houston. But, okay, let's be real now. Seattle's a different caliber team. Not only did the Packers win it, I mean, if you were judging this, it was really a TKO in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Just because they got off to a fast start. You think about that touchdown pass to Devontae Adams, and they just got rolling, and they didn't look back.
Yeah, that 66-yard touchdown pass to Adams just 90 seconds into the game. The Packers have the lead and really stayed in control throughout. We had talked on our last show in the peak performances episode about the five interceptions from the defensive backfield. Morgan Burnett got that started, stepping in front of Jimmy Graham for a pick that led to a score by the Packers offense as they started to build that lead. Demaryius Randall with a great athletic interception at the goal line right at the end of the first half. Everything really going Green Bay's way here. And when you talk about the Seahawks being the leaders of the NFC West, they were a team that was very much in the running for a first-round bye in the playoffs at that point, a team that is as big of a non-division rival as the Packers could have. To take care of business like this, it had a lot of implications, not only for the Packers, but really it kind of knocked the Seahawks down a peg in terms of trying to get that first-round bye, which between the Seahawks and the Falcons became a pretty big issue. And really after this game, not a lot of people talked about the Seahawks as legitimate Super Bowl contenders, even though they were going to the postseason.
It did get quieter.
Yeah.
The conversation definitely got quieter. And I think one of the things that the Packers really showed in this game is there's been questions about Seattle's offensive line for a number of years now, basically since they traded Max Unger. You know, Russell Okung, he was gone. They've really had a hard time replacing those guys.
Yeah.
And this was a game where the Packers really exploited that, I thought. And it was interesting, too. You go back, Mike, you got to remember, this was the first game they were without Nick Perry after he broke his hand Houston. So they got five quarterback hits out of Dayton Jones. Dayton also had a sack in that game. So there was the pressure was where it started. And then when you were able to get Russell Wilson off his spot, when you were able to kind of turn the heat up a little bit, the secondary took it from there. Just a really good blend. When we talk about it, Mike McCarthy talks about the premier positions in a defense, pass rusher and cornerback. That's where you saw the perfect mess of it, probably better than any other game in which the Packers played this season.
Yeah, the Packers really handed Russell Wilson probably the worst game of his career, the worst performance that he's had with the five interceptions. His quarterback rating, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was more than 100 points below Aaron Rodgers, because Rodgers posted 150 quarterback rating. Was very efficient right from the start, as we said, beginning with the 66-yard touchdown to Devontae Adams. And the Packers really played a mistake-free game on offense, while the defense was just continuing to force Seattle into all kinds of mistakes.
Yeah, and it was interesting, too, because it wasn't just the stars. It wasn't Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews, as I mentioned, Dayton with the sack. Jayrone Elliott had a sack in that game, and Dean Lowry began this little late-season surge that they got out of him, the fourth-round pick out of Northwestern. Basically projects as a five-technique defensive end, was making a lot of noise as a three-tech in the sub-packages. So that's what you need, and they needed that performance like that when you don't have Nick Perry and when you need to be able to make some things work. And, yeah, to get back to the secondary, though, too, Demaryius Randall with the two interceptions, big-time performance for him. Quentin Rollins getting another one as well. For guys that had dealt with as many injuries as they did, specifically the groin injuries that kept them out, really important for both of those guys to kind of start to find their rhythm.
Yeah, and Micah Hyde gets an interception off of a deflected pass, which began a stretch for him in which through the end of the regular season and the playoffs in a stretch of six games, Micah Hyde had four interceptions and was becoming really one of the real playmakers in the defensive backfield for Green Bay.
Yeah, and exactly when they needed him to. Because as we end up finding out as the weeks to come, those injuries weren't going to stop. There was going to be some more adversity that those cornerbacks had to face, and Micah Hyde was there to really see them through that.
Yeah, most definitely. With that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we continue recapping the fourth quarter of the 2016 regular season, we're up to the trip to Chicago, game number 14. The Packers now 7-6 after the win over Seattle. The first time Green Bay has been above 500 since October at this point. And it was cold in Chicago, Wes. That's the one thing that stands out as far as the hype and the pregame. We knew it was going to be cold before we went, and the weather lived up to the billing. We were down on the field before the game started to do our live Periscope kind of pregame video on the internet. And, boy, it was what did the thing say, -2 or
minus
something
two.
Like that?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I just regained feeling in my right hand about 4 hours ago. It was a challenge. I don't know how those guys played through it, to be perfectly honest with you. I remember it was the third coldest game in Soldier Field history, right? That's what they put up on the board during it, too.
Yeah.
And the thing that stood out to me the most when you went out there, I mean, you see, you're going to go back and you're going to look at this game, and you're going to see 11 degrees as the game time temperature. It isn't going to jump off the page. But if you were there in that stadium, you felt that wind chill when it swirled around the bowl there.
Yep.
When you felt just the – I remember going out there, Mike, and you remember there was all those I don't know if it was ice chunks or if it, what – it was all the stuff they had cleared from the field.
Yeah.
And it just – it looked miserable. And for the Packers' perspective, I know Mike McCarthy did give the grounds crew a lot of credit at Soldier Field for what it could have been, was an extremely playable playing surface.
Yeah.
But just in terms of the conditions, really mentally, really, really was something that was going to challenge an offense.
Yeah, you mentioned where this game ranked in Soldier Field. I think it's now something like 5 or 6 of the 8 coldest games in Soldier Field history have been against the Packers.
Yeah.
So this was nothing new in terms of the historical significance. But the Packers get a big day out of Ty Montgomery, 162 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions on top of 2 interceptions by HaHa Clinton-Dix in the third quarter on top of a strip sack by Julius Peppers that helped the Packers establish a 17-point lead. Then that 17-point lead vanishes in the fourth quarter as Matt Barkley, for the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, brings Chicago back. The game ends up tied, and it comes down to a 60-yard heave on 3rd and 11 to Jordy Nelson. The Aaron Rodgers playing with the bad calf and all of that, you know, hobbles his way up, waves off the substitutions coming in from the sidelines, gets everybody lined up and spikes the ball to stop the clock to allow Mason Crosby to come out and kick a field goal that allows the Packers to escape with a 3-point victory.
It was such an impressive drive there late, and I know TJ Lang and a number of different guys end up talking about this later. And that was one of the games that really had defined their mental toughness and really defined them in terms of being a team that could respond to adversity. Keep in mind, Joe Callahan was activated back to the roster going into this game. The Packers kept 3 quarterbacks just in case. They weren't sure how much they were going to get out of Aaron Rodgers. There was reports going into it basically saying that Rodgers is going to go out there, see how well he plays, and then they're going to make an adjustment or they'll figure the rest out. Rodgers ends up playing the entire game, scampers down the field after throwing a 60-yard pass to Jordy Nelson. As you said, to have the presence of mind to wave off Lane Taylor and everybody else that was trying to come back onto the field, get the team set with no timeouts to be able to kill that ball, and then to send Mason Crosby onto the field in those conditions, as he had talked about earlier in the week, it's like kicking a tire.
Yeah.
Well, he kicked the tire 32 yards through the uprights to give the Packers a much-needed victory and really to be able to escape a Bears team that was not – they were not saying die. And I know their season was, you know, was ending towards a a conclusion that they did not want.
Right.
But yet still came out there and played really competitive football, and the Packers did everything they could to scratch and claw themselves out of there.
Yeah, and we have to mention, even though the defense really struggled in the fourth quarter as Matt Barkley found a rhythm and got the Bears back into it, Micah Hyde's pass deflection at the goal line, which forced the Bears to settle for a field goal that right. tied the game rather than potentially get a touchdown that would have put Chicago in the lead. And that play happens with the Packers only have 10 guys on the field. LaTroy Guyon is running down the sideline to get on the correct side of the line of scrimmage before he comes into the play. And he almost runs into Micah Hyde as Hyde is trying to guard the receiver at the goal line. But Hyde makes the play, and the Packers are preserve the tie for that moment and then end up winning. And as you said with Rodgers, early in the game, he was barely moving in the pocket with that right. calf injury. He was being very, very careful. There was one where he kind of hobbled his way out on a scramble and just got tackled from behind. But as the game went on, he started to take more chances with the scrambling and cut things loose a little bit. And I'll always remember that image on TV of him coming down the field. The Packers, I believe, both of the starting guards were out right. of the game on the 60-yard pass to Nelson. And then he's hobbling his way down the field and orchestrating everything. And you're in a situation where if you get everybody up to the line of scrimmage and somebody false starts, it's a 10-second yep. runoff and the game's going to overtime. I mean, the discipline and the coordination of all of that was really impressive.
Yeah, you have to keep in mind, Lane Taylor, as I said, was trying to come back onto the field. Those ended up being the only two snaps of the regular season that Lane Taylor did not play for the Packers. Don Barkley and Jason Spriggs having to come in there and help finish that drive out was really huge. And also, when you talk about Rodgers, those conditions, it wasn't just about him and being able to really work through it. It was also making sure he didn't aggravate it. When it gets that cold,
right.
you can really challenge yourself and really could potentially do more damage to those soft muscle injuries. He got through it fine, and the Packers got out of there with a W.
Yeah, and with that, Wes, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkowitz there, Mike Spofford right here. And Wes, as we continue to roll through the end of the regular season here for the Packers, they're 8-6 and continuing this stretch of three straight division games to end the regular season. Number two in that run is a home game on Christmas Eve Day against the Minnesota Vikings at Lambeau Field. And the Packers really kind of come out firing on all cylinders, I guess you could say, ultimately building a 38-13 lead, a 25-point lead in the second half. The Vikings make it a little closer down the stretch, but the Packers at this stage, everything is continuing to roll.
Yeah, definitely. Well, first off, happy holidays. it was interesting. It was a noon game at Lambeau Field. There weren't a lot of noon games this year, particularly at Lambeau Field.
Right.
So there was a real palpable energy in that stadium. And I think it was something special because the fan base was re-energized at this point. As you said, they're two games above 500. And really, it starts to get to be this thing in the back of the head of, could they really do this thing? I mean, yeah. They're in control of their own destiny again. And it was funny. We go into this thing. Minnesota obviously had some hard, difficult times with their traveling the night before.
That's right.
They slide off the runway.
The plane in Appleton. Yeah.
There's all these different things flying out there, and you're not really sure what to expect. But the one thing that was consistent is Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. And both of those guys really showed up to play on that day. Beginning with the first touchdown of the game, Nelson, I think, ended up finishing with around 150 receiving yards, if I remember right.
Yeah, 154, I think
it was. And pushing him over that 1,000-yard mark for the season. Just an incredible performance all around. But again, it went back to Rodgers really being able to outduel Sam Bradford to pick up that W.
Yeah, and there was a key sequence right at the end of the first half in this game. It's a pretty tight game. The right. Packers are having their trouble with Adam Thielen, the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. He ends up going on to a 200-yard day, but he had a big touchdown in the first half that was keeping the Vikings in it. And then Minnesota, at the end of the first half, is across midfield, if I recall correctly. They have a chance to drive and either tie the game or take the lead. Clay Matthews comes flying around the edge on the blind side. Sam Bradford never sees him. And Matthews just drills him in the back. The ball comes flying out. Mike Daniels recovers for the Packers. Not only then is that scoring threat squelched by the defense, but Aaron Rodgers then drives the Packers down, gets a touchdown right before halftime to extend Green Bay's lead. And from then on, the Packers were pretty much in control.
Yeah, that's what broke this thing wide open. It ended up being a little bit closer in the end because Bradford and the offense from Minnesota got some garbage yards and points. But for the most part, that's where it was over. And for Matthews, it was such an important performance for him because this is where he'd really only been a third down rusher, a dime rusher for the most part. Probably had about, I would say, 40% of the snaps he was seeing at this part of the season, dealing with that shoulder injury. And an injury that wasn't going to get better until after the season, but just tried to have to sort of get a pain tolerance there and get an understanding of what he could and couldn't do. Well, in this game, he ends up with three tackles, as you mentioned, the sack, three quarterback hits, and two pass deflections as well, in addition to the forced fumble off the strip sack. So a really well-rounded performance from him, and one they really needed. Also, Nick Perry getting two sacks late to really seal this thing.
Yeah, Perry playing with that club on his hand and gets two sacks and moves himself into that double-digit range for the season. But with that, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we're up to the 16th and final game of the regular season. The Packers at 9-6 heading to Ford Field in Detroit, a game for the NFC North Championship. It gets flexed to prime time on NBC. But in the late afternoon, there's a Giants-Redskins game that really plays big into the NFC playoff picture, and that is that the Redskins are playing for a playoff spot, and if they win that game, then the Packers-Lions game is a win-or-go-home, essentially a de facto playoff game. But the Giants beat the Redskins, knock them out of the playoff picture, so then the Packers and Lions know at kickoff that they're both in the playoffs, but the game is still for the division title. It's to decide, are you playing at home in the first round of the playoffs, or are you headed out on the road as a wild card team? So the Packers didn't need to win this one in the, you know, grand scheme of things, but yet you didn't want the Packers' momentum to get squelched here, to get stopped, and they managed to keep it going and officially finish the run the table in the regular season portion of things.
Yeah, there's two things to that. One, you're right. They would have been in the playoffs either way, but see what happened to Detroit after they lost that game. Now, who knows? Packers might have still played on Sunday the following week. You never really can be too sure how those things are going to shuffle out. But Detroit losing that game and then having to fly 6 days later to get to Seattle and play at CenturyLink Field, good luck.
Yeah.
That was definitely, I think, the downturn for their season. But on the other side of it, the Packers really propelled themselves into the playoffs. Suddenly, this team that was left for dead at 4-6 is the number four seed in the NFC and has a real chance at not only being able to get a home game, but, you know, make a run at this thing, get some momentum behind them. The one thing I'm going to remember for this game, I'm sure it's probably not the first thing off the tip of your tongue, but I don't know if you remember, but the Aaron Ripkowski versus Zach Zenner first half, where it was like this tit for tat kind of deal, where it was what anything you can do, I can do better. And Ripkowski ended up having a career game that day, 9 carries for 61 yards. Ty Montgomery adding 8 carries for 44 yards. It was the perfect embodiment of what the Packers had been trying to do in sort of manufacturing a run game. And Rodgers played great. Geronimo Allison stepped up. But, what the Packers did in the backfield in that game is always going to be something I'm going to remember from this game.
Yeah, it was one of those cases of who's the hot hand today. Yeah. And when Ripkowski had a couple of early carries where he's pushing the pile and moving the chains and whatnot, they kept feeding him. And as you said, he ends up with 9 carries for 61 yards, the bulk of that coming in the first half of the game. Not the guy that anybody figured would be the bell cow, so to speak, at running back there. But you mentioned Aaron Rodgers with a solid performance. The Packers actually trailing, if I remember right, or early in this game or in the second quarter, they were behind. Ended up, what was the score at halftime? Had the Packers taken the
score? Was 14-10 Detroit, but the Lions Yeah,
the Packers had gotten a field goal right at the end of the first half. That's what it was. It was 14-7, and Rodgers only had less than a minute, I think, to work with. He got the Packers down into field goal range, a big pass to Geronimo Allison, got things to 14-10 at halftime. You know, things hadn't gone all that great in the first half, but the Packers felt okay down by four. And then in the second half, Rodgers came out and really got the offense rolling, built a two-score lead. Micah Hyde gets an interception at the goal line there in
as
the fourth
quarter.
A boundary cornerback, as the Packers are dealing with all kinds of injuries. The defense really kind of just trying to survive with what was going on the injury side of things.
The most shifting they've ever had to make. I mean, you remember this game, Mike. Morgan Burnett started as an inside linebacker, first career start as inside linebacker. He finished it playing the nickel star position after they lost both Demaryius Randall and Quint Rollins, who was carted off the field, but as it turned out, ended up being okay with that neck injury / concussion. But it forced them to really shuffle the deck, and that deck resulted in Gunter playing outside, Micah Hyde playing outside, and Morgan Burnett and fellow safety Kentrell Bryce being the slot cornerbacks in the dime package.
Right.
They really went deep into their coffers at that position and still played really well at the end there to finish this thing out.
Yeah, the Packers needed, as you said, kind of all hands on deck on defense to get through this. Matthew Stafford had come into the game with all these fourth quarter comebacks and everything. You never really felt comfortable. And Hyde gets that pick at the goal line off the back shoulder throw. And then it was kind of like, okay, the Packers are going to do this. They're going to win the NFC North for the fifth time in a 6-year span and off to the playoffs. And as we said, the Packers didn't necessarily need to win this game to make the playoffs, but they needed to win it to make the run that they did.
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, with that, Wes, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.